Today's daf is Kaf Tet. We're going to start near the bottom of Kaf Chet Amud Bet at the words Kigom Mai. We're in the middle of this debate between two rabbis where one was making fun of the other about his psak, that he was matir to use this blue powdery stuff they would use to fix eye issues, an eye that's ready to pop out of its socket, and he made fun of him that he couldn't do that. And then, of course, he ended up needing that kind of help, went to the rabbi, and the rabbi said, everyone else can do it, but not you. And then he proceeded to say, well, anyway, you think it was me who said it, but it was really Shmuel who said it. Okay. So before we start, two things. Number one, today's shiur is dedicated in memory of Enya Bat Reuven. Number two, I wanted to look, and I wanted to show you an interesting source of the Shulchan Aruch, and particularly Rabbi Akiva's Eger notes, Rabbi Akiva Eger's notes on the Shulchan Aruch. So in Yoredeh Siman Shin Lamivav, yesterday we looked in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, now we're going to look in Hilchot Rofei. Okay, there's laws for a Rofei, and it's in the middle of, interestingly, Hilchot Bikur Cholim, and it says here, in the Shulchan Aruch it says, Natna Torah Rishut LaRofei LiRapot. Okay, the Torah gave Rishut to a Rofei to do it, you know, to cure people. Umitzvahi, and not only that, but it's a mitzvah ubichlal pikuach nefeshu. It's interesting how they start off. Almost you might think, maybe who has the rights to be a doctor? What do you know more than anyone else? And you're playing with people's lives. But in fact, it's pikuach nefesh v'imoneh atzmo. And if you don't do it, hareza shofech damim. Okay, very strong language. It's as if you're killing someone. And even if he has someone else who could cure him, because not everyone will be zoche to get cured from other people, so you should do that. However, it says, though, you should make sure you're baki, and lo yehe sham gadol mimenu, shim lo ken areza shofech damim, as you should be baki, you shouldn't, if there's someone better than you who can do it, you should let them do it, etc. Okay. Now, the Rabbi Akiva Eger here quotes the Maharil. I should have looked it up in the Maharil, but I didn't have a chance. Anyway, I saw it here. Quotes the Maharil, who's a late Rishon, Ashkenazi, who says, Amar lanu ha-Maharil, because the Maharil was written by his son. So, Amar lanu ha-Maharil, kol ha-refuot shebechol ha-Talmud, all the concoctions that you see, which is what we've seen on this last page, and we're going to continue with some more today, all these things that they said to treat you with, asur l'nasototam. Okay, you cannot use these. Why? Mishum de'en adam yachol amor al ikaran. Okay, people don't really understand them properly. V'chilo ya'alu bi'adam, and if it doesn't work for them, yilagligu al divrei chachamim. People will then mock the chachamim and say, oh look, they clearly don't know what they're talking about because look at all these things that they said and it didn't work.
They'll extend from this to other, to anything.
Right. So, and then he says, Milvad, except for one. Hadita b'Shabbat, Sof Perek B'Meisha, Misha yesh lo etzim bigrono, if you have a bone in your throat, Mevi me'oto min, you bring from the same type, Ritzono lamar me'oto min etzim. Okay, you bring the same type of bone. V'yaniach lo akod kado v'yomar hachi. And you say this lachash. Chad chad nachi bala bala nachi chad chad. V'alachash hazeh baduk u'minuseh. Lachen oto levav matiro v'lo shum chad yoter.
Of all the examples,
that's the one he chooses. And in fact, Seth told me he went to a dayan yesterday and he asked him about this. He asked him just about in general about these refuot because we were talking about. And he said, obviously we don't use any of those. Because he said the Dayan is Sephardi, so he thought maybe because the Maharil is Ashkenazi, whatever. He said, oh no, Sephardi, we don't use any of those except for that one about the throat. In fact, it seems people do use it. So,
which is interesting because some of the others, as Shari said, had some weird basis.
Had some basis.
Whereas
but
this one
really sounds
doesn't.
A little.
Well, unless you think that if you're saying something, if you're moving your throat a certain way, is that the same?
Interesting, maybe.
Right, but what about the fact that it has to be the bone of the same kind of.
Yeah.
Well,
and, but yeah.
Something that borderlines with superstitions.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway, it's a bit strange. I'm putting it out there. Yeah. Okay. So, kigomai. Okay, so now they want to know what other types of eye ailments would be Okay, we were talking about both. Number one, that you could be mechalal Shabbat for, because it's considered pikuach nefesh. And then once it's something that's pikuach nefesh, or that could lead to death, then already we are not allowed to have a non-Jew do it, because we're worried that maybe they'll kill us. Okay? Kigon ma'amar Rabbi Yehuda, kigon rira, a discharge. Ditsa, prickling feeling in the eye, like a pricking feeling in the eye. Dama, blood coming out of the eye. Dimata, a lot of tearing. Kidcha, inflammation. Utchilat uchla, the onset of infection. Lafuge sof uchla, okay, which differentiates it from the final stages of an infection. If you're at the final stages, it's no longer misukan. Upitzuche ena dilo. Okay, pitzuche ena is oh right, to improve your vision, right? This is so interesting that they obviously did things the way we do laser surgery today. So they obviously had things that they did to try to improve people's vision. Amar Rav Yehuda, zibura, okay, now we're talking about other things. The sting from a hornet, udecharze, or the prick, udecharze silo, or silo, the prick of a thorn. Silav, it's silav? Silva. It was either silver or silo, I didn't remember. Silva. The prick of a thorn, v'simtan abscess, udikayv le'ene, or if you have pain in your eye, v'ata ilave ishta, if your fever is coming on, kulu b'nei b'nei sakanta. All these are dangerous if you go into the Beit Merchatz. Okay, you're not allowed to go into a warm bathhouse. Chama lechama, okay, now we have a little bit of a play on words. A radish is good for a fever, okay, in Hebrew, right, it's the same, chama lechama. Okay, a radish for a fever. Silka, beets, litzina. Beets are good for chills. V'chilufa sakanta, but if you use radishes for the chills and silka for the fever, that's bad. Chamime la'akraba, hot, okay, there's either hot foods or maybe hot water or hot compress. It's unclear what they mean here. There's a bit of a debate about what it is. So chamime la'akraba for a scorpion sting, hot. Ukrire lizibora, and for a hornet sting, cold. B'chilufa sakanta, right? This is always classic. Are you better off putting heat or are you better off putting cold? Chamime lisilva, okay, warms for a thorn. Ukrire lechaspinita, for a facial wound. Some people say scars. Other people say boils. B'chilufa sakanta, and again, it's the opposite. If you use the opposite, it's bad. Chala lisibore, okay, you should have vinegar after bloodletting. Umunine l'ta'anita, and small fish after a fast. V'chilufa sakanta, and again, if you flip those two, it's dangerous. Tachle kres v'sibore sakanta. If you have kres, and then you do, sibore is the bloodletting, and then you do bloodletting, that's dangerous. Ishta v'sibore, if you have fever and bloodlet, also sakanta, dangerous. Kaiv ene, if your eye is bothering you, v'sibore, and then you do bloodletting, sakanta. Sheni ladag, dam. Sheni ladam dag. Okay, what does this mean? The second day after having fish, you can do dam, you can do the bloodletting. The second day after doing bloodletting, you can eat fish. But meaning, shlishi lo sakanta. But the third day of bloodletting, you shouldn't eat fish. And the third day of eating fish, you shouldn't bloodlet. Okay, you have to keep track how many days after. Right? I was thinking, before you do blood tests, will you make sure you don't eat certain things? I mean, obviously, it has nothing to do with danger. It has to do with checking your blood. But it's, you know, then there you have to pay attention. Oh, how many hours before? Here you have to pay attention 3 days later to make sure not to eat fish. Tana Rabbanan, Hamekiz dam lo yuchal chagbash. Okay, here's a mnemonic to remember. When you bloodlet, you shouldn't eat the following things after bloodletting. Lo chalav, velo gvina, velo betzalim, velo shchalim. Okay, not milk, cheese, onions, and cress. Imachal, what if he did? Amar Abaye, neti reviata dechala, reviata dechamra. Take a quarter of a log of vinegar and a quarter of a log of wine. V'narabinu bahade hadade, mix them together, v'nishte, and drink it. V'chi mefaneh, but when you go to make after, it's going to be kind of really smelly. So therefore, we've seen this before, lo mefaneh ela lemizracha shel ir, go to the east side of the city, because there's generally there's not an eastern wind, and therefore the wind won't blow it into the city. Okay, we're worried about bishum de kasher recha, because the smell is so horrific that we don't want it to blow into the city. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Lev, ma'alin unkeli b'shabbat. Okay, so now if you have this unkeli, which we're going to see in a minute what it is, you're allowed to fix it on Shabbat. My unkeli, Amar Rabbi Abba, istemucha deliba. Okay, it's the edge of the ribs near the heart is bent in. Okay, my asuta, how do you cure this? My take kmona, karvaya, vininva. I'll stop for a minute. Kmona is kmon in Hebrew that we call it kmon. It's cumin, same thing. Karuya is caraway, sounds very similar. Vininya is nana, okay, which is mint. V'agdana, which is wormwood. Vitsitre, which is satyrija. I don't know what all these things are.
Savory, it's in there.
Oh, savory, they say there?
It is an herb, yeah.
What?
Savory is an herb.
Oh, okay. I saw it in the English as satyrija. Yours says savory?
It says savory.
Okay, fine. In the Koran, it said satyrija, which I don't know what that is. Clearly also, there's different interpretations because not 100% clear what all these things are. V'avaditas hisab. Okay, so you mix, so what would you do to fix this, the edge of the rib? You mix these things together. Now, here we're going to see this combination of these five herbs, depending on what you do with them, it can help in different things. Okay, so liliba, if you have issues with your heart, bichamra, you would put them in wine. V'simanech, and how do you remember this? V'yayin yisamach levav enosh. Okay, here you have yayin and lev together in the pasuk, so that's how you remember. But if you put all these things in wine, you obviously have to remember what all the five things are. But if you can remember that, at least you remember you put them in wine from yayin smach l'avinash. Now we're going to have a few more things. It's not clear what the ailment is, but it's clear that the word they chose to describe the ailment corresponded to the word in the pasuk, and that's why they used it to describe something that actually might have had a better word to describe it. Lerucha, okay, so it's unclear. This means some sort of ailment coming from the wind, some people say. It sounds like from Rashi's explanation, some people claim maybe it's asthma. It's unclear exactly what it is. Lerucha b'maya, use water. Put these all in water. V'simanech v'ruach Elohim rachefet al pnei ha'mayim. So the ruach and the mayim, there you have. Lechuda, which is a pregnant woman. Now there's a debate. First of all, in the Koran they explain that the word lechuda is from the Syriac Aramaic, and it means the blood that comes after a woman gives birth. It's the name for that. So that's how they connect it. Some people say it's a pregnant woman who gets a chill. Some people say it's a woman in childbirth, and in order to enable, you know, the childbirth or to make it easier. Some people say it's after. She gets a chill after she has the baby. Beshichr, you put it in shechar, in beer. V'simanech, here's a bit of a weird siman, it doesn't work 100%. V'kada, in terms of the lechuda, the kada al shichma, okay, from Rivka. Shichma, shichra, it's not 100% the same thing, but it sounds similar enough. Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava, shachik lehu lekulu b'hadeh adade, he would grind all five things together, b'shakile male chamesh etzba'oteh v'shatile. He would take a handful from all five fingers, he would take a whole big handful of all of them together, and he would drink that. Rav Ashi, shachi kocha v'chad l'chude. Okay, there's different ways of how they would make it. He would grind up each one separately. V'shachi melo etzbe'e rabate umelo etzbe'e zutrate. He would take less. He would take his big finger and his small finger, stick them together, and whatever would come up through that grasp would be what he would put in. Amra Papa, Ana Avde. Okay, now we have the comment at the end after we have this whole long thing about how all these five things are these miracle drugs, and if you put them in certain substances, it will cure you for various ailments. Rav Papa says, like we saw yesterday, Ana Avde the Kol Hane, I tried all of these below Itzai. It didn't work for me. Ada Amrli Ahutaya, but then I was told by some Arab merchant, I take Kuza Chadita, take a new kad, a new jug, Umalye Maya, and fill it with water. Viramele tarvada deduvsha, take a ladleful of dvash and hang it detalele be kuchve, and hang it between the stars. Okay, what does it mean between the stars? So, or by the stars. So some people say it means outside. Some people say it means overnight. Leave it out overnight. Ula machar ishti, and the next day you should drink it. Abdehache v'itzai, so I drank it and I was cured. Tanu Rabbanan, shisha dvarim yorapim et hachole michol yo urufuatan v'refuah. These, okay, this is classic. You go to any, right, everybody these days very up on these websites. Go to see the six most healthy things you can eat. Okay, so these, here they have them, brought the rabbis. Here they are. Eluhain, kruv, okay, cabbage, tradin, beets, meis sisin yevesha, water with dry, with water soaked with dry, or the dried chamomile leaves were soaked inside it. Vikeva, the inner part of the stomach of an animal. Veheret, the womb of an animal. Vioteret hakaved, the lobe of the liver. Veyeshamrim, afdagim ktanim, some people say even little fish. The Lord Ella shadagim ktanim mafrinim are being kol gufo shel adam. Okay, dagim ktanim are known to cause the body to flourish and grow. Asara dvarim machzirin et hachole lechoyo vechoyo kasheh. Okay, these ten things now. Okay, we had six things that are good to eat, and then we had even more. But now we're going to have things that if you're sick, you should definitely avoid these things. Okay, it doesn't mean you should avoid them in general, but if you're sick, you should avoid them. We're going to see there's not only foods in here, but also things that you shouldn't do mixed in a very strange way. You would have thought to have ordered these a little differently. Okay, what are they? So if you're getting better, you should avoid these because you're going to get worse. Ve'eluhen, ha'ochel basar shor, you shouldn't eat meat from an ox. Shuman, fatty meat. Basar tzli, roasted meat. Basar tziporim, meat from a bird. Ubeitzat tzluya, roasted egg. Shachalim, cress, which we saw was good in certain ways, but now they say don't eat it by itself. Vitiglachat, here we get to the two that are out of place. Umerchat, shaving, and going to a bathhouse. Okay, I saw it explained that maybe as when you do these things, if you're very sick, it takes a lot of energy out of you. So it would sap you from energy. Ugvina vekaved, right? You would have thought to put the tiglachat and merchats at the end because they're not like all the others, right? They're a masim rather than foods. But anyway, why it ordered it this way, I'm not really sure. And then they get to gvina and kaved, okay? Cheese and liver. So those are all things you shouldn't eat if you're sick. V'yeshomrim, and we're going to add to this list now, some people say af egozim, shouldn't eat walnuts. V'yeshomrim af kishuim, also cucumbers. Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, lama nikra shman kishuim, why are they called kishuim? Mipnei shehen kashin lekol gufo shel adam kicharavo. Seen this before? Because they're hard for the body like swords. Okay, we're finished with the section on curing methods of the rabbis. Okay, now we're back to the Mishnah, where we had all these concerns that an Oved Kochavim might come to kill you. We talked about this many times, that we're talking about people who have no moral standards, people who, if they killed you, they wouldn't be held accountable in a court, and therefore there's concern that they might actually kill you, and therefore you shouldn't go get a haircut. Okay, so in the Mishnah, I just want to review the Mishnah for a minute, it said, that was Divrei Rabbi Meir, and Chachamim Omrim Bereshit HaRabim Mutar, Aval Lo Beino LeBeino. In other words, there was a debate, Rabbi Meir in all these areas was more Machmir, and he said no matter what, and Chachamim said only if you're in a private space, just the two of you. But if you're in public, it's fine because there's no concern he's going to kill you. Tanu Rabbanan, Yisrael, so now we're quoting a brayta. Yisrael HaMistaper Me'Ovei Kochavim, Ro'eh B'Mar'eh. If you're getting a haircut from an Oved Kochavim, look in the mirror. Okay, in other words, as long as you're looking in the mirror, then there's no concern he's going to kill you. The Gemara immediately is going to jump on this and say, well, where are we talking about? Private, public, how does the mirror help, etc. And you'll see the mirror is going to help in a way you wouldn't have expected. Oved Kochavim ha-mistaper mi-Yisrael, and a non-Jew who gets a haircut from Yisrael, kevan shigia liblorito shomet et yado. When you're cutting the Oved Kochavim's hair, when you get to the blorit, what's the blorit? Saw this? This was this haircut, this unique haircut they had in Roman times, where they would shave most of their head and they would leave a part in the back that would grow long. And then they would eventually cut that and they would worship, they would offer the hair to their gods. So it's a form of Avodah Zarah, and therefore you can't, if you're cutting his hair, you have to stay far away from that area where they grow the hair long so that you don't have any part in this idol worship practice. So therefore, when you're getting close to the blorit, shomete dado, you stop cutting his hair there. You have to wonder why the Oved Kochavim would go to a Jew who's not going to be able to cut their hair properly, but okay. Amar Mar. So now we're going to go in depth about this. Yisrael ha-mistaper mi-Oved Kochavim ro'eh b'mar'eh, b'mar'ah. Hechidami, what's the case? Iber shud harabim, if he's in public, lamali mar'ah, he doesn't need a mar'ah, there's all sorts of other people looking. Just because he's looking in the mirror, the whole concern was the guy could take his razor and quickly slit his neck. What's it going to help if you're watching in the mirror? You'll just watch him kill you, but it's going to be too late at that point. Because we said he could do it with a flick of his hand, you wouldn't even notice. So, la'olam b'rishit arabim. It must mean b'rishit arabim. B'kevan de'ika mar'ah. Okay, the mar'ah is not so that you can see what's going on. And by the way, interestingly enough, right, you think, oh, well then nowadays, this, I mean, anyway, nowadays not such an issue, but you think of the way beauty parlors are set up and any hair cutting place has a big mirror there, that should work. But no, because the mirror has a different purpose. Mitchaze ka'adam chashuv. If you walk into the hair cutters with your own mirror, then you look like you're an important person because it's very important to you how you look. And if it's very important to you how you look, it must be that you're some prominent person, which is an interesting theory because many people walk around with mirrors or check themselves in mirrors all day and they're not necessarily only important people. But again, think about their society. Exactly. That could be how things were. And therefore, or it could just be the Gemara trying to find an answer here, which is also possible. The assumption is you look like an important person. What's the relevance of the important person? We already said that they're not going to kill you if you're an important person because then it will be publicized and they'll get into big trouble. Rav Chana bar Bizna haba mistaper me'avei kochavim b'shvilei d'nehardea. So Rav Chana bar Bizna was getting his hair cut in Shvilei Nehardea, which the assumption was, well, we'll see in a minute whether how public or private a place this was. Okay, on the roads of Nehardea. Amarle, the haircutter, said to him, Chana Chana, that was his name, Chana bar Bizna, said, Chana Chana, Ya'e ko'ayach lezuga, your throat is so beautiful to my razor. Okay, it sounds like literary writing, right? Oh, what beautiful teeth you have, all the better to eat you with, my dear, right? How beautiful your neck looks to my razor. Amar, so he says to himself, Titili magiali, okay? I deserved what he said. De avrei ad Rabbi Meir, because I went against what Rabbi Meir said, that I shouldn't have an ovei kochavim cut my hair. Bechol makom, remember he said. So now they say, Vad Rabbanan lo avar, but wasn't he over also on Rabbanan? Because it seems like he was just alone with the hair cutter. So what do they say? Imor dama Rabbanan b'reshut harabim, b'reshut yachid mi amor. So when they said it, b'reshut harabim, and they said it was allowed in Rashid Arabim, but they didn't say it was allowed in Rashid Yachid, so therefore he was over under Rabban, and this is part of the question. So what do they answer? So why did he say, I'm only over on Rabbi Meir? He should have said, I'm over on Chachamim. Even though it was just him alone with the hair cutter, he assumed that Shvilei Nehardea, since people could come by at any moment, it was a public place. Therefore, if you notice in the Mishnah, again, it's one of these cases where there's two extremes brought and not the middle. One says, Rashid Arabim, I'm sorry, Rabbi Meir says, anywhere is allowed. And then Chachamim said, Rashid Arabim, you're allowed. One second, I just want to look at the words exactly. Avalo beino lebeino. He says, Rashid Arabim, it's mutar, but not just the two of them. What about a place that is just the two of them, but it's Rashid Arabim? What about a place in the middle that's not exactly Rashid Arabim, but it's, you know, you have to figure out where the middle is. So now they say, he assumed that this was like Rashid Arabim, and that's why he said, like Rabbi Meir, and not like Chachamim also. Now we're going to get to this blowit. Ovei kochavim ha-mistaper mi-Yisrael kevan shigil le-blowito shomet et yado. Bekama, how far do you have to stay away? Amrav Malkia, Amrav Adabarava, shlosha etzbo l'chol ruach. Three finger, right, the width of a finger, that in three of them in each direction. In other words, on either side of the blurit. Amarav Hanina Bered Rav Ika, Shipud Shvachot V'Gumot Rav Malkia, Blurit Efer Mikleo Gvina Rav Malkia. If you remember, we had this before, which is, there's six cases, three Rav Malkia had something to say about, and three Rav Malkia had something to say about it, and it's confusing which ones Rav Malkia said and which ones Rav Malkia said, because even though the six cases they're discussing aren't similar at all, their names are similar, and people got confused. So there's a machloket about who said what. So the first opinion is, these first three that we're going to talk about were said by Rav Malkia. And the next three were said by Rav Malkia. And the reason why we're getting to this is because the one about Blurit was Rav Malkia. So shipud, what's a shipud? A shipud is a shipud that, we all know what a shipud, right? One of those sticks that they would put, skewers, thank you. I could think of the word. A skewer that they put the meat on. If you used it for meat and then it's left and it's dirty, so on Yantif, we're going to assume, like let's say you used it on Yantif, you cooked your meat, and at that point it's now useless because you're not using it anymore. So are you allowed to, and it's disgusting because it has all the leftover meat and fat on it. So are you allowed to move this or not to get it out of the way? So one opinion says it's muksa and you can't touch it, and you can't move it. And Another opinion, right? Because muktzah just means it's not useful right now. So since it's dirty and also things are disgusting, you won't want to touch, so therefore you can't move it. But Rav Malki says that you can move it, you can do tiltum min atzad, like you can kind of kick it aside and leave it on the side of the room so that nobody gets hurt by it because it's dangerous. Shvachot is a really interesting sugya that we've come across in Ketubot, where a woman is expected to do certain avodot in the house. But if she has a shifcha, then she already, if she has one shifcha, so then she doesn't have to do certain things. She has two, she doesn't have to do other things. Three, she doesn't have to do more things. She has four, already she doesn't have to do any. But Rabbi Eliezer says it's bad for a woman to sit around idle doing nothing. It leads to bad behavior. And therefore, even if she has four shvachot, she still has to do something to keep her busy. And Rav Malkio paskins like Rabbi Eliezer that she has to do some work in the house. Vigumot, this is simanim, you have to have age, and right, you get to 12 and you have two sarot, or 13 if you're a boy and two sarot, so then you're considered
an adult,
thank you. So what if you have hair follicles but no hair in them? So can we assume that maybe there was a hair there and it fell out? So he paskins like that. If you have these two areas where there could have been hairs, like a guma, then you can assume that there were. Okay, those are the three Rav Malkio. The three of Rav Malkio are Blurit, this one. Efer Makleh, you're not allowed to put Efer Makleh, this type of ashes, on your wounds because it'll be like a tattoo. It'll become permanent on your body, and we don't want to have anything that looks like a tattoo. And Gvina, Gvina is the salacha we're going to see about the Gvina being asur of the Talmidei Chacham, the Ovdei Kochavim, that there are Gvinot or Asurot, and they're going to say what's the reason, and Rav Malkio is going to give an explanation there. Okay, so that's the three of each. But Amar Papa Matnita Nu Matnita Rav Malkio Shmatita Rav Malkio. The ones that relate to Mishnayot and our explanations of Mishnayot are Rav Malkio. Okay, which are those? Those are the Gvina of Akum, which we're going to see is going to come up in the Mishnah in a minute, the next Mishnah. The Blorit has to do with our Mishnah that we just had, and the Shifcha. And the Shifcha also was from a Mishnah, because the Mishnah was all about if you have Shvachot. And Shmatita, things that are just Divrei Amoraim, which is the Efer Mikleh, the Shipud, and the Gumot, that's Rav Malkio. The Simanan, how do you remember this? Matnita Malkita. Malkita sounds like Rav Malkia with the Hey at the end. So Matnita also sounds like with a at the end, so Rav Matnita is Malkia, and that's how you remember. He's the one that relates to the Mishnayot. My Benayu, what's the difference between them? Ika Benayu Shvachot. It's really Shvachot and Efer Mikleh, because obviously Shvachot comes in there and then Efer Mikleh leaves that. Okay, new Mishnah. We have a very long Mishnah right now. Elu Dvarim Shel Ovdei Kochavim Asurim V'Isuran Isur Hana'a. Now we're going to get to all sorts of things of Ovdei Kochavim that not only are they forbidden to eat, but also you can't get any Hana'a from them. The first one being the most famous, Hayayin, their wines, okay? This is what we call Yei Nesef. The reason why all these things are forbidden by Hana'ah is because, or at least most of them we're going to see, talk about each one why, but the assumption is they would take their wines and offer them up as a Nesef to their gods, and therefore they're Avodah Zarah, and since they're Avodah Zarah, we can't get Hana'ah from them. They were used for Avodah Zarah purposes. HaChomet Shel Avdei Kochavim Shaya Mitchilato Yayin. If they have vinegar, the first was wine, and turned to vinegar, then it's also going to be forbidden because it was originally wine. Okay, we'll get to, obviously chometz was once wine, and what case are they excluding here? V'cheres ha-hadrayani, this is Adrianus, okay, Hadrian. There was certain, they call this the cheres ha-hadrayani, because what would he do? He would make... When they would go out to war, they couldn't bring wine with them out to war. So what would they do? They would take kli cheres and they would soak it in wine. And then they would, when they would go to war, they would put the kli cheres into water and the wine would come out of, like it would all disintegrate and the wine would come out, the cheres stuff would sink to the bottom and they'd be left with wine at the top, and that's how they drink wine. And this seemingly became a common practice. People would use this, and therefore cheres hadrayani is problematic because it has wine in them, in it. So from the Avodei Kochavim, va'orot levuvin, this is they would cut out a hole by the heart of the animal and take out the heart and offer it up to the gods. This was one thing they did for these avodah zarah. They would take out the heart of the animal. So if you have the animal skin and there's a hole cut out by the heart area, then you know that, again, they use this animal for avodah zarah. Rashbag Omer, he says it depends what type of hole tear you have in the skin. Bizman shakar shelo agol, if it's round, then asur, because that's how they would cut it. But mashuch, if it was elongated, mutar, then it would be mutar, because obviously they weren't cutting like that to get the heart out. Basar hanichnas l'avodah kochavim mutar. Vayotze asur. If there's an animal that's being brought into the avodah kochavim, but he hasn't yet been used, then it's mutar. But if it's yotzei, if it's coming out of the house of avodah zarah, then it's already, you can assume it might have been used, and therefore asur mipnei shu kizivchei metim. Where do they get the zivchei metim? We're going to see this pasuk later. It's a pasuk by, I'll just find it on the page here. It's in the Baal Peor, okay, in Zimri and Cosby and that whole thing, when then they worshipped avodah zarah. So, and then they got all the people to worship avodah zarah after Bilam didn't succeed, and then they brought in the Zonot, and then the people started praying to Baal Peor. So it says in Tehillim, they're referencing the story, but it's medu l'Baal Peor v'yochlu zivchei metim. So they refer to things of avodah zarah as zivchei metim, okay, animals that were worshipped to avodah zarah. So therefore, if it comes out of the house of avodah zarah, it's kizivchei metim, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Ha'ochin l'trafot asur l'seit v'latet imahen v'habaim mutarim. This is really a halacha that belongs in the first parak. We've already kind of discussed it, but they bring it here because, again, it's something nichnas l'beit avodah zarah and yotzei. This is the opposite, though. People who are going into a house of worship of avodah zarah, you can't do business with them, because if you recall from the beginning of the parak, what did we say? If you do business with them, they're going to be so excited, they're going to go in their house of God and thank their gods, and you're going to be causing more avodah zarah to happen. But once they leave, then you can do whatever you want, because they've already finished there, they're not going to pray again. No dot ha'ovdei kochavim. Okay, now we're talking about, you take their bags where they put their wine, or some sort of holder of wine, v'kan kinehem, and their jugs, v'yayin shel Yisrael kanus bahem. So you take an avodah zarah's wine carrier bag or pitcher, and you put wine of Yisrael. Now the assumption is, again, just like the klei cheres, right, that the wine's going to come out of the kli. So you're going to end up with a mixture of his wine and our wine. So yain shisrael kanus bahen. So if you put your own wine in there, asurin v'isuran isur hana'ah. Okay? They're forbidden to drink, and it's asur v'hana'ah. Divrei Rabbi Meir, because it's mamash avodah zarah. You know, it's got the wine from their avodah zarah. V'chachamim amrim ein isuran isur hana'ah. We can't drink it, because there's an assumption that their wine is in there. But it's not asur v'hana'ah, because it's very indirect. It's only the taste, maybe a little bit, is in there, but not the isur of the avodah zarah.
Could you say batel b'shishim, or would that?
Yes, so they don't use batel b'shishim here. I was wondering why there's no concept of batel b'shishim. It could be because it's avodah zarah, and because of that, we're just more machmir. Just like there's all sorts of things where batel b'shishim doesn't apply. So I'm assuming it's because of that. Hachartzanim v'azagim shel ovdei kochavim asurim. Now remember, they take the grapes and they make wine out of it. So if you have now the pits and the peels of the grapes, they're forbidden. V'isurani soran adivrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim lachin asurin yiveshim mutarin. If they're dried already, then they're mutar. Hamurayis ugvinat beit onaiki shel ovdei kochavim asurim. And we're going to get more into this in the Gemara, all these cases. Murayis is this oil from fish. And gvinat beit onaiki, this house of cheese, that they would make cheese, asurin, visurani isurana'a, they're forbidden, and even bahana'a, devar bimeir, v'chachamim umim, ein isurani isurana'a. Okay, these are not forbidden bahana'a, and the concern is, with the morais, maybe they mix some wine into this fish juice, or fish oil, maybe they mix some wine into it. And with the gvinot, we're going to talk about, okay? We're going to leave this aside right now. They're going to give all sorts of reasons. We're going to see a difference between this gvina, Rabbi Meir says it's asur b'hana'ah, and Chachamim say it's not asur b'hana'ah, versus other gvinot, which we're going to reference right now in another minute, which are asurim b'achila, but not b'hana'ah. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Sha'al Rabbi Yishmael et... Sha'al Rabbi Yishmael et Rabbi Yoshua, k'shviyu malchim b'derach. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us that Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yoshua had a conversation about this. Rabbi Yishmael asked Rabbi Yoshua, not about this, but about Gvina in general. So we talked about this Gvina Beit Onaiki, which we're going to get much more into in the Gemara as to what exactly the reason is, what was unique about that Gvina. But now Rabbi Yishmael asked Rabbi Yoshua, k'shviyu malchim b'derach, Amar lo mipnei masru gvinat ovdei kochavim. Why are generally gvinot from ovdei kochavim asurim? Amar lo mipnei shamamidin otam bekevah shel nevela. Because they would process it in the inside of the stomach of a dead animal.
So they would use the rennet.
The rennet, right. The rennet from it, right. The enzymes from there. Right, that's how they process cheese. So the assumption is they used it from an animal that was a nevela, and that's forbidden. Amar lo, halo kevat ola chamura mikevat nevela. Okay, you would think that the keva of an ola, a korban ola, which is kadosh and is for sure sor bahana, is going to be more chamur from the keva of a nevela. Okay, just a dead animal. And amru kohen shedato yafeh. For kohen, it's an interesting line. If he's not disgusted by this, what can he do? Sorfa chaya. He can. Suck. It's actually shorfah haya. Sorry, he can suck out the fat that's inside the keva of the korban ola if he wanted to. Okay, all right. It's like they're saying if it doesn't gross you out, I could see it's grossing out some people here. So in that case, don't do it. But if you were a kohen that wanted to do that, he'd be allowed to do that. Vilo hodulo, but chachamim didn't agree with him. Aval amru, what did they say? Ein nehanim, you can't get hana'a from this keva of the ola. But lo mo'alim. But it's not forbidden. No, generally, if kodshim were forbidden b'hana'ah, there's isr me'ilah. If you do it, you have to bring a korban me'ilah, and if you did a b'shogeg, and etc. So here, it's like, you shouldn't get hana'ah from it, but really, it's not asr b'hana'ah. So they're going to say, how could you say that a kevat nevela is more chamor than a kevat ola? And here we see that you can actually benefit from it. Okay? Amar lo, mipnei shamamidin ota bekevat egle avodah kochavim. It's not just that it's a kevav and nevela, because nevela, clearly, if we do go on the hierarchy, nevela is clearly less chamor from an ola. But if it's a kevav of de kochavim, and that's what they're saying is sometimes, not all the time, sometimes they might use an egel that was used for avodah zaha. In that case, it gets it higher than the ola in terms of being forbidden. Amar lo, Imken, lama lo asura b'hana'a. So he says, if that's the case, then why did Chachamim say that there's no isur hana'a here? If the concern is with Gvinot of Akum that you can't, that they're using Ovdei Kochavim, the Kevot of Ovdei Kochavim, so then why isn't it forbidden b'hana'a? This is a great question, right? And what's the answer? He see Ola Davar Achir. He basically changed topics. Okay? He didn't want to talk about it. Now, why he didn't want to talk about this is interesting. It seems to the Gemara later, we're going to get into it later in the Gemara, but it seems to the Gemara later that he didn't want to tell him, I think it comes up in the Gemara if I recall. Anyway, he didn't want to tell him the reason, because what was he worried? It was a new gzera, apparently. Okay, we're going to see that there were all these gzerot they instituted in various times. It's a new gzera, and he was worried that people would, once you know the reason, sometimes you say, oh, the reason doesn't apply, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and people will treat it with disrespect. So therefore, he basically didn't want to give the reason, and he switches the topic. So what does he say? Amar lo Yishmael, hey achata koret ki dodim dodecha miyayim. How do you read, right, now we're totally off the topic. This is like, okay, let's talk about the weather. So what does he say? This pasuk, ki dodim dodecha miyayim, in Shir Shirim, do you read it, ki dodim dodecha miyayim, which is that God is talking, or the let's take, right, if we forget the analogy, but either the analogy, let's say, of, right, of Shir HaShirim is God to the Jewish people. Is it God talking about the Jewish people and the Jewish people are the feminine? Your breasts are beautiful than more beautiful than wine. Oh, ki tovim dodaich. I'm sorry, dodecha, I said the opposite. Is it, I don't know which way it reads in the Gemara, it doesn't really matter. Is it dodaich, that it's the female, your breasts, or is it dodecha, which would be God, it's talking about God, his breasts. Amar lo, ki tovim dodecha. It's talking about God. Amar lo, I'm sorry, the opposite. Rabbi Yishmael says it's the feminine, okay? It's the female's breast, which seems like the pshat, right? Because generally when we're talking about breasts, we talk about female breasts. Amar lo, ein hadarakein. No, you're wrong. Sharei chaverom lamed alav. Chaburam alamed alav. The pasuk right next to it teaches. What does the pasuk next to it say? L'reach shmanecha tovim. You have to read the whole pasuk, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. The pasuk is, they don't bring it in mind. I made a lot of mistakes here. I'm not bringing all the pasukim. Oh, maybe I have it in somewhere else.
I have it as bet.
Okay. Read the, here, let me see the pasuk. I don't know why it's not in mine. L'reach shmanecha tovim. Shemen turach shmecha, al ken alamot ahevucha. Alemot will love you. What are alemot? They're females. Females will love you. So what do you see? Clearly we're talking to the male. Okay? So therefore he's saying it's talking about God. Okay? What is the connection here? Right? What does this have to do with anything? Either he was just totally trying to get him off the topic, or somehow, what are the breasts of God? The breasts of God could be interpreted as the rabbis and what the rabbis say. And maybe what he was trying to reference here is Tovim Dodecha Miyayin is a reference to the what the Chachamim say. And that what the Chachamim say is always right. And don't start questioning these gezeirot and saying they're not relevant. Okay? And that's maybe what it was, an underhanded way of kind of stressing what he wanted to say. Okay. In the Gemara now, Yayin Minalan. How do we know that Yayin is forbidden? Amar Ravu Amar Kra. It says in the Pasuk, in Dvarim, Lamibet, Asher Chelev Zvachemo Yochelu, Yishtu Yein Nesicham. Ma Zevach Asur Bahana'a, Af Yayin Nami Asur Bahana'a. Right? There's Zvachim, their sacrifices are Asur Bahana'a. So therefore also, since their sacrifices come in the same Pasuk as the Yayin Nesach, then we say also their Yayin is Asur Bahana'a. So now we're going to have one of these, okay, so that we learn from there, but where do we learn that from? And we're going to go a bunch of steps. Zevach gufe minalan, and how about the korban itself? How do we know? Dichtiv, right, how do we know that their korbanot are forbidden b'hana'? Because it says, this pasuk we saw before, v'yitzam du l'baal p'or v'yachlu zivchei metim. Okay, they went with baal p'or and they ate zivchei metim. Their korbanot are called zivchei metim. Ma met asur b'hana'a, av zevach nami asur b'hana'a. So there's vachim or asurim b'hana'a because they're called meitim, and a maid is forbidden to get, we're forbidden to get benefit from a maid. Therefore, also the zevach. Okay, so we learn from maid to zevach, from zevach to yayin. But now, meiku feminala, and how do we know that a maid is asur b'hana'a? Atya sham sham me'egla rufa, gzera shava from egla rufa. K'tiv hacha, v'tamat sham Miriam, Miriam died there. U'k'tiv hata v'arfu sham ta'egla b'nachal. It says they killed the egel there in the nachal, right? They broke its neck. So here you see, just like an egel arufa, malahalam by egel arufa asur bahana'a. Says an egel arufa is asur bahana'a, avkanami asur bahana'a. Kahata minalan, how do we know egel arufa is asur bahana'a? We feel like we could keep going forever, but we're going to end here. Amre debe rabbi yanai, kaparaktivba. It says by egel arufa that the egel arufa serves as kapara. If it serves as kapara, ki kodshim, then it's just like kodshim. So we go like this. Kodshim or Asur Bahana'a, that we know, right? Any sacrifice is Asur Bahana'a, because it's going to God, so that forbids us to get benefit from it. So, Kodshim is Asur Bahana'a, from there we learn to Egla Rufa. From Egla Rufa we learn Sham Sham to Miriam. To Miriam, from there, from the mate, we learn to the Zivchei Meitim, to the Zvachim of the Avdei Kochavim, and from there we learn to the Yein Nesech. The Yein Nesech and Zvachim of the Avdei Kochavim are juxtaposed in the Pasuk in Dvarim, and therefore, also, we learn that the yayin is asur b'hana'a. Okay, we'll end here for today.